Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. We are live from the AIS Arena where Sydney is going to be playing Canberra and fourth place on the ladder's on the line. And I've got on the call with me my co-host, Jacinta Govind. Jacinta, how you doing? It's been a while since we've had you on.
Hello, Paul and everyone listening. Yeah, it has been a while. Full transparency, became a little bit unwell around November last year. And while I've said to myself for the last 2-3 years that I need to take a rest or cut back on some of my responsibilities, here I am and I haven't. But I got unwell in November last year and was basically forced to rest. So I've taken a basketball sabbatical for the last couple months and getting ready to come back slowly to some more podcasting and back onto the basketball scene.
That is good news because I know, you know, we've missed you. We've missed not having you on the podcast, but also it's, you know, it's one of those things. You've got to make sure that you take care of your health because if you don't, you can't be doing stuff like this either.
Yeah, that's right. And I was at a point where I was at risk of becoming more unwell for a longer period of time if I didn't take adequate rest. So it was really the universe forced me to properly rest. So I couldn't ignore that.
All right. So one of the things we did earlier this week, we had we did a pre-record with Jade Melbourne and also with the Flame Players, which we'll bring up later on, Celeste Taylor. But I'm going to put on Jade and we'll have a listen to what she had to say about this game.
Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. Just a few days ago, we were joined by Jade Melbourne for a few minutes to talk about today's game between the UC Caps and the Sydney Flames at the AIS Arena. Piece of news that just came in. She is the only active WNBL player in the last 15 years with 2 triple-doubles to her name, as well as being a member of the Washington Mystics. Jade, great to have you here.
No, awesome. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Now, I got to ask this one. Were you as surprised as us to hear about the triple-double stat?
Yeah, for sure. I did know it was a short list, and the list came back out when Sammy got one this year. I had no idea because even I couldn't even believe when I got it on the weekend, Joe was like, oh, Jade Melbourne triple-double. I said, I don't get that many rebounds. So super surprised. But yeah, the names that are in that list are pretty cool. And it's something that, take a lot of pride in.
Cool. It's been a really interesting 2025 for the Caps. You guys have absolutely come storming back, right? And you're in contention, knocking on the door for fourth place. What happened?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously going into the season, we're a young team. There's no lie about that. We're inexperienced. I all of a sudden became a kind of a young veteran at 22 years old. So it was kind of, you know, who knows what we can do. And we got the 2 wins in 2024, but after a couple of like rough losses in December, we knew that our potential was a lot higher than what we were living up to. So we had a really good reset. It involved, you know, having some really cool conversations with one another, getting a little bit vulnerable. But it was kind of ultimately the reset we needed. And we were like, you know what, let's make 2025 our year. And we came out, we won 3 in a row. We went up to Townsville. They're an unbelievable team, got our asses handed to us. And then figured it out again. So we've got 3 massive games coming up and, you know, everyone's just enjoying their basketball, having a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to, you know, being in contention for playoffs, especially me and Munger. We spoke about it. We haven't been in this position for a while, so we're really excited to see what the next 4 games has in store for us.
Yeah, what do you think was the turning point? You mentioned having a lot of fun and being a young team, and I guess the advantage of being a young team is that you can allow a little bit more fun. But what do you think was the turning point? What do you think made it all click into place for you? To help you get that winning streak? And it's like between you and Sydney on the ladder, you have the same win-loss record. You have 2 more points for and 34 points more, like more points against. So the margin is very thin. Yeah, so what do you think was the turning point for you guys?
Yeah, so I think we played Perth, I want to say, on the 29th, and then we kind of had a few days before 2025 hit. And it was just a matter of, you know, like just having some conversations about each other, getting a little bit vulnerable and just kind of trying to figure out, you know, why people are at the Caps, like what basketball means to them, their why they play. And just that, like, had a really form some really deep connections within the group. And, you know, like we started to figure each other out, like on a deeper level. And when you kind of understand the value of, you know, why someone plays, what gets them up in the morning, it's really easy then to hold each other accountable. And, you begin to have a lot more joy in what you're doing. So when we started to form a deep and meaningful relationships and to get young people talking sometimes because we're always on our phones is tough. So those things were super powerful and we got around each other and we started with that. The next practice was really good. And then we started having fun. Like you'll notice with the Caps, like we over-exaggerate things. We get really excited. Like me and Munger are jumping up and down, chest bumping in the second quarter. We're celebrating threes. Like that's the kind of spirit we want to play in. And when we started having fun and realizing that we can kind of run our own race and, you know, just enjoy what we're doing, have fun with one another, I think that's when we really started to turn.
And how much of this do you think's down to the fact that you guys are back at, you know, the Caps home, the AIS Arena?
When we walked into that arena, it was Christmas morning. It was unbelievable. The whole new arena looked great. Like, it's unbelievable. And I'm so glad people have been able to see it. The first game back, we had over 4,000 people there. Unfortunately, we played Bendigo, so it was a rough night for the Caps. But to have everyone there was just awesome. Like, the last time I was in that building, I watched Kia Nurse hit a massive three-pointer to beat the Southside Flyers in that championship game. So, you know, as a Caps fan and now Cap, you know, all I saw in there was winning. And that's something that I wanted to bring to the Caps community, the Caps culture. Like, we want to win. We want to win games. And to be back in that building, it's the home in Canberra. And, yeah, the excitement was unreal. I was, like, up at 5 a.m. like a kid on Christmas. It was just really cool. And, the excitement and buzz around Canberra when we were back there was so cool.
Wow, and it really shows the loyalty of Canberra Caps fans. You know, even the times we've gone down to some of those games in the last couple of seasons, I'm still seeing people who were there when I played long ago, and then they were still there as Caps fans even longer before that. Shout out to the Caps fans for their loyalty and for sticking around, but they would have loved being back in the arena. And to have 4,000 strong, yeah. I think that's really sending a message, especially to the other clubs, and I think to the Canberra sport landscape in general, that despite the Caps not being top of the ladder like they were back in the day, the fans are still turning up.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so cool. And, you know, they really are our sixth man. We're so much better at home than we are away, and it's credit to them. And even just around the community, like I ran into someone the other day in Coles and, you know, 10-minute conversation about how he's been to the Caps games for so long. Like, just the people are willing to, you know, talk to us. We have great connections with our fans. So it's really exciting. And it was exciting for them too to get back into their home venue.
I think something as well, what you touched on before about you and Munger doing those big celebrations and jumps, which I love, by the way, because it's also great energy and positivity and sending a good message, but also two of my favorite people doing it together. Like, how could you not enjoy that?
That's my dream.
I love it. But when you see your team doing that, that's really motivates the fans as well to stick around. I mean, even when Bendigo a couple of seasons ago, they were bottom of the ladder, they still had that really positive team attitude and people were still turning up to watch them and really admired it for it. So we love it. Caps are just a whole package deal for me.
And, you know, you've mentioned this a couple of times, Jade. It's a young team. So with some of these younger players, how do you find yourself trying to, you know, direct traffic? You know, you're one of the senior members of the team.
I am. And that's crazy because it all happened very quickly in a Caps uniform. You walk into a team with Tolo and KG, and then 2 years later, they're like, hey, do you want to be part of the leadership group? So it kind of happened all very quickly. And, you know, this year's my first year as the standalone captain. And Goz has been great in supporting me. But yeah, it is challenging sometimes because you're dealing with people that have had limited experience in the league too, and they're kind of like, you know, all of a sudden, like, they're just puppies. They want to learn. And the cool thing about our group is kind of anything you give them, they'll take on. And you've seen the rise of so many people. Like, a huge one would be Nards. She's, you know, one of our most dominant scorers at the moment. She's gone from, you know, being a role player, a bench player at Southside to being a huge part of our team. Monique Babongi's grown in leaps and bounds. You know, Indy the other weekend, 5 threes. Like, I had tunnel vision for that girl in the end. Katie Diebel's one of the smartest people that basketball's ever met. And she's, you know, gaining more confidence. And, you know, when she, like, finds her voice and becomes that leader as well, I think people can watch out for her. So many young people. For me, it's just kind of trying to set an example. I don't know everything. Like, as I said before, I'm only 22 years old. So I've had a bunch of great experiences so far. So just trying to, you know, share that kind of knowledge and wisdom with them, you know, teach them some pro habits and stuff. But I'm still trying to figure it out too. So just trying to be the best example I can be, encourage everyone to be themselves, create good habits, and then just be that leader that someone they can lean on. And I think, you know, I take it to my advantage. It's someone that's only a couple years older than them, so I can relate to them a lot. But yeah, just trying to be a good leader, show them, you know, that it's okay to have fun. We don't have to be serious all the time, and, you know, we can achieve some pretty cool things.
And you talked about before as well how you invested in your relationships off court and you understood each other a lot more and then therefore held each other more accountable. And obviously that's transferred on court. Was Gorry kind of encouraging like cultural change in the team too? Did he set up any kind of like team bonding things off court, like the good dad that I imagine he would be?
Uncle Gos. No, I'm joking. It was honestly kind of initiated by him. I'm someone that kind of doesn't really touch into that vulnerability side, but I know how powerful it can be. And he was someone that kind of encouraged it, and he kind of set the task, and everyone came to the table with their why, and it was really good. And a lot of credit for what we're doing is a credit to Gos. The way he's been able to just, it's a different group for him too. He's had so many veterans and, you know, superstars, and this team's completely different to him. So yeah, he's kind of really tapped into it and found different ways to, you know, get the best out of people, which has been really exciting. Yeah, he's awesome. He hasn't necessarily set up too many things off court. We had a team dinner in Bendigo, which was great actually. But yeah, just making sure like we focus on connections, just encouraging people to have like kind of, you know, big girl conversations if something's kind of going wrong. But overall, it's just been a really healthy environment since we had that kind of initial conversation. And we've come along in 2025 in leaps and bounds. And I just really hope we can keep it going because it's a really exciting week. We've got three huge matches coming up, and we finish off with Bendigo. And, you know, the fact that finals is in contention is really exciting. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do.
And talking about finals, you've got this game against the Flames. Unfortunately, nobody can see what's going on the camera right now, and we'll just keep that between ourselves.
You would think it's the 22-year-olds. Being the bad influence, it's the other way around. It's
the other way around.
Egging on the 22-year-old with all my silent gestures on camera. So I'm sorry.
So looking forward, you know, you've got just a few rounds left. How confident is the team feeling?
I'm going to put it out there right now. I'm feeling super confident. I think, you know, I'm in the daily training environment with this group. You know, I'm constantly having conversations with Gos, and there's a genuine care and belief, which is the most important thing for me. And you kind of see a couple of wins happen. You see people making changes and habits being changed, and more people are getting there early to shoot. More people are getting extra reps in the weight room. And that kind of stuff is like this group cares. So I'm feeling super confident. If you ask me in December, probably not. But this group's made a lot of changes. We've come along really well. And we've got three great opportunities to come up against Sydney twice, Geelong once, and we're feeling confident. So we're going in there, we're giving it our best shot, and destiny's in our own hands. And I think that's the thing that's the most exciting for us. We don't actually have to rely on other teams and results. We can make a change for ourselves. Feeling confident. I'm ready to go, and I can't wait to see what happens.
That's fantastic. Jade, thanks for joining us. Can't wait to see you hit the floor shortly, and good luck for the game.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're back live at the AIS Arena, and I've got Christy Collier-Hill, head of the WNBL, here with me. Christy, great to have you here. It's going to be a game.
It is going to be a game, Paul. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure. Always love chatting. Yeah, look, we've got 4v5 here today. That fourth spot on the ladder obviously up for grabs, the top three already locked.
Yep.
With still a number of teams putting their hand up. But at the moment, you know, this game here could be critical between Caps and Flames. Whoever gets the win puts them in a really strong position to lock down that fourth position.
Absolutely. And when we were doing that pre-record with Jay, she actually dropped the stat after we finished recording, which absolutely floored me and also Jacinta, and that is Kelly Wilson has more games under her belt than the entire Caps team put together.
I mean, I would believe that, absolutely. Yeah. It's a super young Caps team, and obviously Kelly Wilson, the biggest legend perhaps of the WNBL, who looks like she could play for another 10 years.
Oh,
she
easily, is yeah.
fit, she is contributing, she's, you know, as good as she's ever looked. So, but yeah, Caps need a few more, bit of age in their group, don't they?
And up in Brisbane joining us, Christy, is Jacinta.
Hi, Jacinta. Hello.
Hi, Christy. Hi, Christy. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
That's good to hear. I'm just dialing in. I certainly do miss seeing you around the games when I was down in New South Wales, but I'm glad that you're with us today on air. Cool. And I was going to say, looks like you're still able to get to some games. Have you made any, I guess, observations, differences, changes from last season to this season so far?
I relocated to Canberra about 12 months ago, so I'm a regular at the Caps games now. When I was living in Melbourne, I was obviously along to Boomers and Flyers and Spirit down there, so new kind of home base here for me. But look, I think across the league this season we've seen, in general, exceptional talent. Some veterans that have really put the league on notice, really, from round one. Sammy Witkin has been simply, I mean, there's not enough words, is there?
No, there isn't.
Really, to say what she's been doing this season. And then, you know, the quality of imports we've got, we're going to see a couple of incredible ones on the court here tonight with the Caps and the Flames, has been phenomenal. And then the emergence or even the re-emergence of some of our superstars, and I'm looking directly at Shanice Swain as she runs out on court here.
Yeah.
The 40-pointer.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, absolutely incredible. Jade Melbourne had a triple-double last week. So, look, I think across the board for the league in all facets, it gets better year on year. This year's competition has been truly world-class. And it's going to be an exciting finish to see who gets that fourth spot.
Now, one of the things that we're always looking forward to is the WNBL Awards, the end of the regular season. This time, it's a little bit bittersweet in a way, because it's the end of the traditional WNBL before, you know, final series is over, and then it becomes the new WNBL. What, from your perspective, what's it like?
Yeah, I mean, look, genuinely, WNBL 2.0, as we're kind of calling it internally, is coming, right? So as everybody, all of your listeners would know, BA has sold the WNBL, and from April 2nd, the new ownership group, which is the Wollemi Group, Robin and Victoria Denholm, and the NBL, and Basketball Australia has a small part of that, will take control of the WNBL. So there will be a new leader. There will be a whole new lot of staff. I think they're bringing on 20 staff. I mean, come on. We've been doing it on not quite that many for a very long time at Basketball Australia.
Let's be honest. You've been doing it on the smell of an oily rag.
Yeah. But genuinely, it's exciting, because what that new ownership group is going to do is they are going to invest in the league. They're investing financially. They're investing resourcefully. And they're investing personally. They want to elevate it. They want it to be successful. There's an unusual period here where we're kind of in a bit of transition mode, of course. We've still got an incredible season to finish off. And then we celebrate at that awards evening. And then we look to the future of the WNBL and what it holds. And hopefully, you know, we're very confident that new ownership group can really elevate it to where it rightly deserves to be.
Yeah, I think that's probably the thing that I think frustrates most of the fans, is that we know this is a world-class product. We have got some of the best athletes in the world here, and we can say that because of the number that are playing over in the WNBA.
Yeah.
And so many people just don't even know the competition exists.
No.
It's a crime.
It is. And, you know, I was having a chat with somebody about this earlier today about broadcast this year. And, you know, we've got ESPN and we've got Nine back on board, and got a game on Nine Go this season, which has really elevated the visibility and awareness. So we met with every broadcaster for this season. And it's still an uphill battle because of the reality of the positioning of the WNBL as it currently stands. We know it's going to be great. And we know it is going to get huge eyeballs and huge visibility, but we're not quite there yet. So we're kind of, you know, we were kind of at the point of asking them to take a bit of a punt on the fact that globally women's basketball was through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, women's sport in its entirety is growing and growing and growing. But it's kind of the chicken before the egg. We're asking them to take a punt because the eyeballs will be there before having the eyeballs on it. So
it's always a tough call.
It is always a tough call. But, you know, so I think the growth is going to be there with the new ownership group. Absolutely. It's not going to happen overnight. I think we all need to be realistic with that. But, gee, there's going to be some significant leaps and bounds over the next, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5 years to see it get there.
And I think that's one of the things that we need to be really careful about, is setting a realistic expectation.
Mm.
You know, I mean, all the fans want it to happen yesterday, but the reality is it's going to take a bit of time to happen.
Yeah, I mean, nothing happens overnight, does it? Oh, look, I think there'll be some really positive, significant big leaps even going into next season, and then, you know, year on year more from that. So if you're, you know, WNBL fans, there's never been a more exciting time.
Absolutely. Sorry, Jacinta, I've been monopolising this one.
No, not a problem at all. I think it's the same questions I likely would have asked as well, Paul, so you're all over it. And I think what you both bring up, though, is a really important point, and it's probably helped me reflect as well about my expectations or my anticipation towards WNBL 2.0, as you referred it to, Christy, is that we do have to have some great, have, you know, be understanding that there's going to be a grace period for everything to be executed as well as we hoped for. But I think as well, it was probably so easy for us as fans and as people in alternative media to keep saying, look, the WNBL needs to change, it deserves more. But now that it's actually here and happening within a couple, starting to happen within a couple of months, that anticipation of me, like, oh, wow, The league that I've admired since I was a child is about to dramatically change. I don't think I was mentally properly prepared for it. And it's kind of exciting, but I'm also a little bit scared, appropriately scared, in a good way, though, because...
All right, Jacinta, it's time to mentally prepare yourself, because it's happening.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, yeah, this is actually happening. You know, you're so used to talking about
something
for so long. Right? Yeah. You're just like, oh, no. Actually happening now. Oh, wow, here it comes. And what it's going to look like. And there has been lots of talk about things like, yeah, broadcast and what that's going to look like. I think ultimately fans just want hopefully equal resources to what is available to the NBL, and that does extend to broadcast too. So, absolutely. Yeah, I'm really keen to see what's going to happen.
Okay, Christy, thanks so much for jumping on. What we're going to have to do is we're definitely going to catch up with you on the orange carpet at the awards.
Yes.
But then once we've gotten over this season, we definitely want to get you back and have a really long, in-depth conversation about all stuff WNBL.
Love to.
Fantastic. Christy Collier-Hills, thanks so much for your time. Great having you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
No worries. Thanks, Christy. So, Jacinta, we've got another special guest coming on now.
Wonderful.
And this one's a new one for us, and I think it's a start of a conversation. Joining us on our live pod here from the AIS Arena, we've got Jenny Sager, the CEO of, as Christy put it, WNBL 2.0. Jenny, thanks for joining us here. It's great to have you on the show.
It's great to be here.
Now, in Brisbane, we've also got my co-host, Jacinta Gavin, and I know she's got some queries and some questions of her own to kind of put to you. So, Jacinta?
Hello. Hi there. Lovely to meet you, even though it is only virtually. Sorry, I couldn't be either face-to-face or on some kind of video conference, but thanks again for coming on Shooting the Breeze today while you're there in Canberra. I think that the question a lot of fans will probably be asking is if you can share anything that we can expect with WNBL 2.0, just as a bit of a blanket question to start with.
Sure. I think you can expect us to obviously, first of all, build off the legacy that's already been here and the incredible work that's been done by Basketball Australia and all of the clubs to get us this far. So we'll be building off of that momentum and really trying to elevate the game and making sure that everyone knows that this is one of the world's best sporting leagues. And we want everyone to learn more about the players and the clubs and really building that emotional connection and the fan base. And also, you know, doing things like lifting the broadcast and just making sure there are more eyeballs on the game and making sure people know who our players are.
Jenny,
Sorry, I was just going to follow up very quick and ask, yes, broadcast is certainly on the forefront of what's the people's mind too. But I think in the past, you've also said, you know, just to achieve greater visibility overall for WNBL, but for some of us on the couch, what else goes into trying to get more eyeballs on the game and increasing visibility? Like, what's kind of a multifactorial approach that would benefit the WNBL to achieve greater visibility?
Yeah, I think definitely storytelling is a huge part of it. We're already shooting some amazing content with players and clubs and really making sure that people know the story on and off the court. And that's how you build that fan base and that emotional connection. And there's a lot of research in that, too, that shows that fans of women's sports actually want that. They want to know who these people are as athletes, but also in their personal lives as well. And so we'll definitely be sharing their stories a lot. That's a huge element. Also, just making sure that we're really engaged in the community and making sure that we're working with all levels, you know, looking at grassroots participation and how we can be more involved in that space as well. And I think, you know, just lifting the reputation and awareness around the league, and that comes into also looking at things like rebuilding and relaunching brand identity and just every aspect of what goes into growing the audience.
And Jenny, one of the things that's really interesting, that whole point about storytelling, I think that's one of the things that not just the WNBL, but a lot of sports tend to ignore, particularly in Australia, not so much overseas. It's going to require a bit of a mindset from the fan base. They're hanging out for it, but it's going to be a very different approach. How do you guys see a way of, you know, bringing the fans on that journey?
Well, look, there's no shortage of amazing stories on every single one of these teams. I mean, we have so many Olympians. We have so many girls that are going overseas and playing in the WNBA. We have athletes who are moms. We've got athletes who have really awesome and interesting interests, like whether that's gaming or, you know, the animals or whatever that is. And so there's natural places there where you can share those stories in a way that just piques people's interest and that makes them really relatable and makes them understand that these are not just athletes. These are actually people, you know, who have lives outside of basketball as well. And that's really important. And so then it just comes down to how do you distribute that? Like, how do you show that to everyone? And I think for us, one of our key priorities is just hitting as big of an audience as we possibly can so that more people understand the caliber of this league and the caliber of the athletes. And so we have to think about distribution really widely. And that's where you think about new mediums and new outlets, you know, both digitally, streaming, broadcast, obviously, and what that looks like.
And Jenny, you've obviously been to a few games over the last few months. Have you found, you know, traveling around, meeting people, meeting fans at various events?
I think that's been the absolute best part of coming into this role. I mean, it is so fun to go out and see games at home in all of the venues and all of the places and just meet everyone who works on it in the background, but also all of the fans. And the environment is so much fun. There's so many kids. You know, I compared one of the games I was at to a Taylor Swift concert because there were just kids dancing and singing and just having an absolute blast the whole night. And that's what it's about, right? Like, yeah, we've got a great game and the level of skill is amazing, but we also have a really entertaining, fun game to watch. Yeah. It's really family friendly. It's a great environment for people of all ages and it's super fun.
Yeah, which is something that's a little bit different to other professional leagues. Definitely. Around the world. It's that unique thing about the Australian league that it is so family friendly. Yeah. That, you know, people get to do some signings on the court after,
yeah,
the game.
It's
something that, you know, we need to capitalize on because that's one of those things that will bring more people in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's how you build that fan engagement and community connection, which is so important. But I was really impressed by that. Like, I've got three kids. You see them at games all the time. They're sports fanatics. They love all sport. They love meeting the players. They love getting signatures. And I can't actually count how many times it's happened, because it happens a lot where they wait around after a game and they get nothing, right? And one of the first games that they went to was a Flames game where, unfortunately, the Flames lost. And I couldn't believe it that afterwards, every single player was out there signing autographs, taking pictures, like laughing, having conversations. Most other sports, if you lose, you're straight into the locker room and you don't want to talk to anyone. And these girls are just so professional and so passionate that they are so giving with their time. And I think that that is why you see these fans who are just loving it.
Yeah. Okay. Jenny, thanks so much for jumping on. It's been great having you here. I know we want to get you on for a longer podcast where we can talk to you in more detail about a whole bunch of things.
Including our dogs.
Including our dogs. Absolutely. You know, and I think we need to make the Bernese Mountain Dog the official mascot breed for the WNBL.
Look, don't write off a pet-friendly WNBL night, you know, across the league. We can make it happen.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jenny. And we're about to jump to our pre-record with Celeste Taylor that we did just the other day about this game.
And finally, we were joined by Celeste Taylor from the Sydney Flames to talk about today's game. Celeste has been working hard to help the Flames lock in that fourth spot on the ladder and is on the Phoenix Mercury in the WNBA. Celeste, it's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Celeste, it's kind of getting pretty crowded around that fourth spot on the ladder.
It is. It is. It's getting pretty tight.
What do you think it's going to take to try and get a little bit of edge on the rest of the teams that are kind of crowded in there?
Yeah, I know we have Canberra right below us, so these next two games will be really helpful for us, especially getting the win against them. But I think just remaining to stay together. We've had a roller coaster of a season from injuries and, you know, a couple other things. And so just trying to stay healthy and trying to do the best that we can. I think we just need to look for that little push at the end to at least help us get into playoffs, into finals. And then from there, you know, it's going to take a whole nother energy, a whole nother power to do what we want to do.
And you've been to some of the top colleges in the NCAAW tournament in your career, including Texas with Cap starting center Charlie Collier. So we love a full circle moment. Also Duke. Did you play at Duke with Mila Sowa?
Yes.
Yeah. So the girl Mila, and then finishing your career at Ohio State. So I imagine throughout your college career, you would have been in similar situations as you are now with the Flames, but like you said, that tight spot for fourth. So what's something from your college career that you can draw upon to put into these next couple of games to help the Flames get the win?
Yeah, I think just a leadership standpoint of like the mindset that you have to come into games like this. You know, a lot of it, you know, you think is just physical, but most of it is mental. And to come into here and having that confidence that we can do it, I think is really important. So besides the physical aspect and trying to keep us together, I think something that's important is just the mentality that we have to be able to compete for 40 minutes and just to believe that we can do it.
Do you think that with all the unexpected changes that have happened to the roster, literally from before the season started, do you think it's helped the team to be able to adjust faster to changes, but also do you think it's helped build the team's resilience and dependence on each other?
Yeah, I think that, you know, from the beginning, we had to have this sort of confidence in each other and just be able to rely on one another. I think something that Guy brought up since the beginning of the season is like doing things and making plays and knowing where your teammate is going to be. So we do certain things and make sure that we're in certain positions so that our teammate can make a blind hook pass to the corner, and just having that confidence and that trust in one another. I think that, you know, it's definitely given us some sort of resilience piece. It's definitely been hard, but I think that we have to come together and work a little harder to build that last, you know, 10 minutes of a game and be able to continue to compete throughout four quarters. Cause I think we've done it through a couple stretches, but we haven't shown that throughout a whole game. And I think that's important, but I think that it has helped us be able to lean on each other a little bit more and trying to find like versatility within all of us. I mean, a lot of us are playing out of position. And so it's just a learning experience for all of us. And being able to go through it with a teammate who is in the same position as you has been pretty cool. So we're just continuing to rely on each other and lean on one another through this.
I got to admit, it's been interesting watching the evolution of the way the Flames have played across this season, because at the beginning, you could tell the fact that, you know, like a couple of weeks before the season started, a couple of players just weren't going to be available. And then over time, things just kept adjusting, either with injury or with other things happening. As a player, how do you deal with that? Because it's almost like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Flames have been able to put a full team on the floor anywhere through this season.
I think just, you know, as a basketball player, you know, anything can happen at any given moment, and that injuries are pretty common which sucks, especially in basketball and throughout basketball. And obviously things happen. So just being able to expect the unexpected sometimes is important as an athlete and as a basketball player. Throughout my career, I've gone through to a lot of different places and, you know, have been that person that's been taken from a team and then put on another team. But, you know, just being able to have that resilience and have that hunger and that fight, you know, like we didn't expect things to look like this at this point in the season, especially with the way our team's looking and the injuries that have happened. But the injured players have done an amazing job of continuing to be by our side and continuing to push us and help us, which has been really helpful as well. You know, like I said before, like just being able to expect the unexpected. I mean, like things happen. We can't see the future. We don't know what's going to happen. And so just trying to be prepared as much as we can, and everybody taking another step, taking an extra step, putting in a little bit more has helped us throughout this season.
And we also spoke to Jade Melvin recently in preparation for this live pod and showcase between UC Caps and the Flames. And she talked about how Coach Paul Gorris had started to implement some things off court to help cultivate their team culture to transfer on court. Is your team at the Flames starting to kind of rally around each other off court as well to kind of help support each other into this stretch of the season?
Honestly, the crazy part about it has been that regardless of our wins and losses, I think the one thing that has remained consistent with us is that chemistry, especially off the court. I mean, throughout this whole season since I've got here, we spent a lot of time either going out to eat or going to the beach or just doing activities like that. I mean, we see each other basically every day. Most of us live in the same place. So we're definitely always bumping into each other, seeing each other at the supermarket, the stores and stuff like that. And so I don't think there's been a huge difference. I think that that's one thing that actually has remained constant with us, is that our ability to have that chemistry off the court and trump through the highs and lows together due to that chemistry that we have off the court.
One of the things I've noticed at home games is no matter how tough the game that you're shaping up for is, when you're warming up, you guys seem to be trying to keep it really loose and have a little bit of fun to get yourselves in the mood. How do you guys do that, particularly when, you know, sometimes you're going up against that number one team or that number two team and still keep focus?
Yeah, obviously everyone has their own, you know, way to prepare for the game. In some games we've had struggled a little bit in the beginning, and, you know, I don't know if it's whether due to that focus or that looseness, but we do have a young team as well. And so, you know, when you're younger, you tend to be uptight a lot. You tend to be nervous. Any move you make, you tend to just get a little scared, and, you know, by some of us being loose and making each other smile, just reminding each other that, you know, this is a game and obviously we want to win, but we also are here to have fun and enjoy our time together, because that's what makes playing basketball fun, the relationships you have, and obviously winning, but, you know, just being able to play freely. And I think that that's where that looseness comes from, of making sure that we're locked in mentally with the game plan and everything we need to do, but we still can do our job with a smile on our face and putting a smile on our teammates' face as well.
I'm keen to know who in your squad at the moment is one of the best at putting smiles on the teammates' faces. Like, who's the one in the change room boosting the mood? Who's the one with the aux cord? There was a cool reel that was put on Instagram with Bonnie D's on the mic, and she's, you know, queuing up scissor at the start, which I thought was funny. Who in the team do you think is the one that is the biggest mood booster and the one to really boost the morale of the team before a game?
Yeah, I would say everybody finds their own ways. Probably one of the more outspoken ones would probably be between Bonnie and Yamaya. They're quiet, but at the same time, like, if they're playing music, they'll get going. Like, they'll give us a little dance, like just things like that. Is this pretty funny? She finds her way to make everybody laugh and smile. Kayla will also make us smile, but at the same time, we see the focus, and then it, you know, kind of spreads to all of us. I think everybody has their fair share of connecting with each other.
And the thing you mentioned, which I think sometimes people forget, it is a young team. And in fact, between the Caps and the Flames, it's two of the youngest teams overall going up against each other. You know, you think that from your perspective, being a younger team, it gives you an opportunity to try and experiment a little bit, because the expectation that comes over a long period of time playing a certain way isn't there, and that maybe that gives you a bit more freedom.
I would say a little bit. I think the only thing is, you know, I feel like even though we are young, I feel like we have this expectation that not so much that other people have put on us, that we've put on ourselves, and that's to go out there and to compete. And I think where the lack of experience comes in is like, you know, certain games when we're going through, you know, a certain play or something needs to happen, or we have to have that certain focus. I think that's where we see that lack of experience, but we still have this standard that we've put on ourselves, that we want to compete and we want to win. And so I don't think that we've so much paid attention to the outsideness. And yeah, we've even, you know, Guy has said it multiple times, you know, we are a young and experienced team, even though we do have Kayla and Michaela, but that's not an excuse. You know, that can't be an excuse of how we go out there and perform, because we all know how to play basketball. We were all put on this team for a reason. We were scouted here, we were recruited here. And so we come in with the standard of wanting to win. And, you know, previously, you know, the Flames have been pretty high on the ladder. And so Guy is trying his best to do what he can to bring us back up there. And he's constantly telling us and reminding us that that's where we need to be. And so that is the standard that we have around us. So being young, yeah, you feel like you could play a little freely and experiment a little bit. But at the same time, our goal is to try to get Sydney back to where it was and keep it high up on the ladder and make it into finals.
Celeste, you've got to come up against the Caps twice in four games, and it's somewhat, as a fan, somewhat serendipitous that the two teams fighting for the fourth spot in the finals play each other twice in four games. Is the team feeling prepared? How do you think it's going to go? I mean, I'm pretty confident that you're going to say you're going to win both.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always hard to beat a team three times. So definitely in that third game, regardless of this outcome, it'll be a pretty big one. Just trying to stay within ourselves. I mean, we've prepared this week. We've had a little bit of chunk of time off, and we've been in the gym and we've been practicing. And, you know, we've lost our last, I want to say, 4 out of 5, and they've won maybe their last 3 out of 5 or something like that. And so just going into it hungry. I mean, we need a win on the board, regardless of how the season has went for us. We're in fourth currently. And so, you know, we have to continue to fight to be able to get another chance. And so this game is really important, just as the next one is. And just focusing strictly on this team. But I think that, you know, we've prepared, we've got a good scout. We've worked really hard to make corrections. And, you know, a lot of it is just playing four quarters and playing them really well and competing. And so that's what we've been working on. And yeah, I mean, I think we're going to win.
Okay, Celeste, thanks so much. We're looking forward to this game and the result, and also the next game against the Caps as well. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Jacinta, it's just happening. It's all happening down here. The Bats are introduced the Caps to the crowd. As you could probably guess, with all the noise in the background.
Yeah, aren't you lucky? You are an hour ahead of me and ready to tip off, and I'm racing home to try and catch the first quarter. So, yeah, it sounds like it's going to be electric. It's going to be a really great and exciting game today. Yeah, I can't wait. I've already started to think, what am I going to have for dinner while I watch this very exciting game?
Jacinta, listen, thanks so much for joining us on this live pod, our first live pod of Season 7, and I can't wait for the awards, so we can do something live, face to face with all the players at the awards night.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. I'm very excited as well to return to the orange carpet. Yeah, really looking forward to it, Paul. Have a great afternoon down there in Canberra.
No worries. Thanks, and get back home and watch the game, because I think it's going to be a cracker.
Oh, yeah, I'm on my way.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. See you later.
See ya.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.